Have a banana, Hannah.
Hannah.
Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef. Our guest today is Marcy Clark of Hook and Larder. I am Chef Janice Escott. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Chef Kelly Taylor. And welcome, Marcy.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to be talking about fish and all those good things today, aren't we? That's wonderful. So tell us about a little bit about you, Marcy.
I am originally from New England, New Hampshire to be exact. I grew up on a little river where they did a lot of lobstering. My father worked at a lobster house for most of my life while I lived there. So fish has always kind of been in my blood, mostly anything with a crustacean. That's what I go for.
Yeah.
And then I went to culinary school in Vermont, which is where I met my husband.
Are you both chefs?
We are both chefs. We cool. both went to New England Culinary Institute. He was a year ahead of me. And then I went back and finished. We have lived all over the country, from Colorado to Virginia, pretty much everywhere you name, we've probably lived there for at least a short amount of time.
Why have you lived so many places?
We moved for jobs. Friends would call us and say, hey, we're opening this restaurant or we need some help here. Would you be willing to come? And so we'd go for a year or two and then go off to the next place. But North Carolina is where my husband was born. And we have some family in the area, so that's why we moved back here and discovered that we really, really, really love it here, so we don't want to leave. And that's kind of why we decided to open up our own place, tired of working for other people.
Mm-hmm. And your husband's name is James?
James Clark, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you guys most recently around here have been doing that. You're opening your own venture now, but
yes.
What have you been doing around in North Carolina?
James was the executive chef for the Carolina Inn for just under 5 years.
Which is a landmark in Chapel Hill.
Yes, it is. And it was his dream job, actually. Mm-hmm. When we were deciding to leave the coast of South Carolina, that job popped up and he gave it a shot. He's always wanted to work there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it worked out really well. And we moved the family here and we're not leaving.
And we're glad.
Yeah, thank you.
To have you.
When did you move here?
We moved here in 2012.
Ah, so you've been here for a little bit.
Just about 5 years.
Great. Well, you're off the coast now.
We are off the coast, so the connection to the coast. We've made connections to the coast, though, so that we still get to go over there. And it's different not living on water, for sure. We used to live on the intercoastal waterway, so when you would look out the window, there's boats and everything going by, so it's different living near the mountains, for sure.
So what is your connection to the coast?
We have developed a lot of relationships with fishermen, commercial fishermen, throughout the years. One in particular is called Salty Catch. It's Renee and Steven, and Steve is a fifth-generation commercial fisherman. So his family does everything from farming oysters to shrimping to using sustainable nets, pound nets and hoop nets. Sustainable fishing is a huge part of what we do. We want to stay very, very local.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve and Renee are wonderful about how they catch fish, and they are very good about the environment and keeping everything as it should be.
So what does sustainable fishing mean?
Sustainable fishing is not overfishing, basically, to use underutilized fish, not salmon or Chilean sea bass or tuna. Some tuna is fine. Bluefish tuna you avoid.
There's, how do you avoid bluefish?
You just don't buy it. You get other fish.
Because it's overfished?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
But people still fish it.
Yes, people
and they
still
sell
it. Yes, they do.
How do you know? I mean, I would assume that sometimes when people buy fish that they're not getting what they're thinking they're getting.
I would say that happens.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. You know, I think it might be hard for people to really know if they're trying to be good about buying fish that are sustainably caught or ones that aren't overfished. How does one even know how to do that?
There are lots of websites that you can go to. So when you're thinking about sustainability, fish is wonderful for you. It's very, very healthy for you. You get omega-3s, and what you need to look at when you're buying a fish are three different things. The sustainability of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't want to get stuff like farm-raised shrimp, farm-raised bivalves, like clams, mussels, oysters, those are all fine. But farm-raised shrimp, you want to avoid. Anything that comes from a foreign country, you probably want to avoid. Try to stay local. The more local it is, the fresher it's going to be and the better for you. Mm.
I think it's fascinating. No farm-raised bivalves.
No. You can have.
Oh, because I thought you said none, and I was like, "Wait, what? What's happening?"
No, any farm-raised bivalves that are local are okay.
All right.
No imported shrimp. They tend to inject things into shrimp.
Yeah. So I've heard this about shrimp, and
yes.
I've wondered what the story was.
Yeah.
So what's the story about buying shrimp?
When you buy shrimp, you want to buy as local as possible.
Which we have some delicious shrimp.
We do. North Carolina shrimp is excellent.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. We have brown shrimp and pink shrimp, and you just need to get it as local and as fresh as possible. Mm-hmm. Shrimp is frozen off the boat. If you can get things that have never been frozen before, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. It's better for you.
Mm-hmm. So
it tastes better for sure.
What do they do to the shrimp in other places?
They can inject a solution. I won't say exactly what that solution is because I'm not there, but they don't mark what it is on the bags that you buy it in.
It mean it's not marked that there is one or that the solution isn't? There,
it just
clearly.
Says it's a solution. They don't actually tell you what's in that solution.
What do you mean by inject?
They will take individual shrimp and inject a solution
they
into the shrimp.
Do?
It plumps them up and it makes them weigh more.
Oh.
And so they look better than they actually are. So you want to avoid
and
then,
so that's
like
why you avoid other countries?
Yes.
Shrimp from other countries?
Yes.
Or?
Plus, if you're getting it from a different country, then you're not supporting your local community.
Right, exactly.
And so mm-hmm. that's something that we're passionate about. James was on the – he was a founding board member for the American Council for Sustainable Fisheries.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. And I probably got that wrong, but it's very, very close to wording on that.
I'm sure people could look it up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
and say, I know you say it again because I
the
American
Council for Sustainable Fishing.
The Council for Sustainable Fishing. And their
right.
and their mission
is to raise awareness about sustainable fishing.
Okay.
The different types of fish that you could get. Like the things that James and I will bring in to Hook and Larder are North Carolina fish. Some of them are native to North Carolina. We'll have things like jolt head porgies, which is not something that you hear all
no.
the time. And that's something that we really like to do is raise awareness about these great fish that nobody ever eats.
Mm.
Because most
mm-hmm.
people will go into a store and they'll see a fish that they recognize and so they'll get it. Things that are overfished like Chilean sea bass, completely avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so well known
mm-hmm.
that people tend to go for those.
And also I would think that when people are just trying to follow a recipe, you know, it says what kind of fish they used and they're going to go to the store. It's just like when you buy any piece of meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go and you're going to ask exactly for that one thing
mm-hmm.
that's written in the recipe because you don't know enough about the other fishes in this case to know there's a comparable one.
Correct.
And people for some reason don't always ask the person behind the counter, which often has a lot of great information.
That's correct. Most of the people here that deal with fish are going to know a lot about what they have. You always want to ask where your fish is from.
Mm-hmm.
If a recipe call, you could ask them, oh, this recipe calls for this fish. And the person would say, oh, well, that's an oily fish and you could substitute this. That's
mm-hmm.
that's what we're trying to do. And we'll also have things that you can cook the fish with. Like we'll have recipes to use.
Oh, that's good.
Right. So that people can try these fish because they really are wonderful. but nobody knows about them because mm-hmm. it's not a common thing.
And even the state fish, we'll come back to that because I learned the state fish when I moved here, which I had never heard of before. So we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Marcy Clark from Hook and Larder. Don't go anywhere.
Have a banana, Hannah.
Hannah.
Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. Have a
Welcome back. This is Say Yes to the Chef. I'm Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott and our guest today, Marcy Clark from Hook and Larder. When we left off, we were just starting to talk about kinds of fish from North Carolina. And I was saying that I had to learn the local fish when I moved here, too, because we do have a lot of really great fish that I had never, ever heard of. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, I go and I'll go buy it from like the market or whatever. And I'm like, what is that fish? You know, mm-hmm. they have it up on the board and I have no clue what it is or how to prepare it or anything at mm-hmm. all. So, but Red Drum.
Red
that
Drum.
Was the one that I kind of slightly fell in love with. I didn't know anything about it. And I went, and there it was the time for Red Drum, which I don't even remember when that was, spring maybe.
Spring.
And I bought it, and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our state fish?
Yes.
Yes. See? I got it right.
James talks about a lot of fish all the time, so I've become quite knowledgeable about the different fish in North Carolina.
And you have that fish on your logo? No. What it's you have a great logo.
This is actually a tuna, which is funny because we're so into sustainable fishing, but I drew the tuna. It's,
oh, you did.
It's like a butcher diagram of a tuna.
Oh, yes, I see.
And the only fish that I could draw was a tuna. So that is how we ended up with that.
If you should go look at their logo. It's really very cute. Your website, we haven't said.
Hookandlarder.com.
And the and is spelled out.
Yes.
And you have a Facebook and Instagram and Twitter account
yes.
as well, all under the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you should go check it out because I think it's really clever to use the butcher diagram for the fish.
Thank you.
You're so smart, Mark. So local fish.
Local fish.
So you are going to be in the Blue Dogwood Public Market.
Yes.
Which is in downtown Chapel Hill on Franklin Street, opening this spring. And you will bring in, we've talked about your relationship with Salty Catch, which is the fisherman. So if you're just tuning in, we were talking about this five-generation fisherman that you
yes.
are partnering with, and
mm-hmm.
that is where you're getting your fish.
Yes, we'll get most of our fish from them, our oysters. We'll have a raw oyster bar at our little stall in the Blue Dogwood.
Which is totally cool. I don't know of a raw, is there another raw oyster bar in this?
There might be.
There's
some
another.
Restaurants.
Yes, mm-hmm. in some restaurants they'll do raw oysters, but not
a bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
we
cool.
only seat four people, so if
I know.
You...
Oh, I'm going to be one of those.
Janice loves oysters.
I do.
Well, excellent. Well, we'll save a space for you and have a little plaque put there.
Okay.
Put your name on it.
Because the market is a bunch of individual small food businesses.
Yes.
So you don't have a large floor plan to go off of, which makes it very quaint and I think really great because you can speak with the person who owns the business, and in your case, you,
yes.
about what you're eating and about exactly where your fish came from.
Mm-hmm. We will know probably from what part of the Pamlico Sound that our fish came from. They fish off of
it's pretty cool.
Cedar
yeah,
Island.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Right. They're out of Beaufort, but their fishing fleet is Cedar Island or in the Pamlico Sound, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So we could call Steve and say, hey, where'd you get that? And he would tell us. So
and when you got it.
Exactly.
And when you caught it. Mm-hmm.
Every 2 days, we'll be getting new fish in. So ours
remarkable.
Is different from mm-hmm. most places that'll, you know,
yes.
it'll be a week old before you ever even get it in. So ours is off the boat the day before.
That is great.
Mm-hmm. Is.
Sometimes that day, depending on what time we go down there.
Right. Are you going to the coast? No, they're driving here.
We'll
with
do
the
both.
Fish.
We'll oh. have.
That's a lot of commitment.
Well, I guess because it's so important to mm-hmm. us that to raise awareness about this, there was a thing going on. There is still a thing going on about the shrimping industry in North Carolina. If and I won't go into it, but you can look it up. and find out all about what's happening with our shrimping industry. They are trying to put new regulations on the shrimping industry, which will pretty much decimate the shrimp in North Carolina.
Yes, because they're going to allow more or something?
Allow less.
Oh, allow less.
Yes.
Oh.
But you'll have to look it up and make your own, form your own opinion about it. But James
and where would we look that up?
Online, you can, if you just type in North Carolina shrimping industry, a lot of things will pop up.
When is this, do you know?
It's still happening right now. James and I went down to New Bern last month, I believe, where we were showing our support for the commercial fishermen. What they're trying to impose is new regulations where they have to go 3 miles out to start shrimping, which most shrimp are not 3 miles out. Mm. They don't want them to shrimp at night, and pink shrimp only come out at night. So there's a lot of things going on.
Well, that would make it very hard to catch shrimp.
It does. It will make it very, very expensive to eat shrimp here, too.
Well, that would be terrible for everyone, the fishermen and for the people who eat those shrimp.
A lot of people rely on the shrimping industry to bring money in for their families.
So let me ask you a question about the shrimp being caught. So this is shrimp that is wild caught.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the difference? We see some that might be farm raised. Is there anything here like that?
There's a great trout farm that's here, Sunburst Trout Farm.
It's west.
Yes.
West of where we are.
Right.
In the triangle.
Right.
And that's...
Some farm-raised things are wonderful. You just really need to do your due diligence and look into it and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. How do we know if we are seeing something that's farm-raised?
It will say it.
Yes. But how would we know whether that's something that's acceptable or not?
I would look it up before going to the grocery store. Because it's kind of confusing.
It is
confusing for the layperson. And you really have to know about it. And you can come in and talk to us anytime. If you come into Hook and Larder and want to talk sustainable fishing, James will talk to you for a day.
So that's a great resource locally.
Yes.
Because you can ask, or you can even go online and still, in my case, still be a little bit confused about some of those things. So to have a real person who is knowledgeable talking about those things, I can't wait. Well, it's going to be wonderful. Thank you.
We're very excited to bring this to Chapel Hill. There's not many. There are places to buy seafood here, but there's nothing like what we're offering. So we're very excited. We've been all over the country living in different places, and many of those places have markets similar, not exactly the same, but similar to what Blue Dogwood is offering. So loving to go to those places, especially on Sundays. It's very exciting for us to be a part of it and to be able to bring this kind of seafood to the community.
Well, I moved here from Seattle, and we had Pike's Place Market. And I mean, fish is what you go for.
Right? And I lived on the north coast of California.
Yeah.
And we would walk down to the docks and get whatever we wanted. And sometimes people would just kind of put it on my front porch.
Oh, that's wonderful.
People who were fishing and had extra stuff. And it was a fantastic place to live. And I loved having that fresh seafood. And I feel a little not so sure here.
I do. I feel the same way because I lived in Ballard in Seattle, which is where the fishermen went out from. And so you could go on the dock and you could get just the freshest seafood. I mean, literally, they went out into the ocean and came back, you know?
Right.
And it was remarkable how different it is. And if you've never had that experience and you're only used to getting the fish from the market that's always frozen, and I mean, always frozen, and sometimes that's fine, you know? I mean, they would flash freeze things on their boats out in the ocean because it was so far away to get all the way back to Seattle. And it was still delicious. But fresh without being frozen would be even better.
Yeah, it has a completely different texture to it.
Because it hasn't been frozen.
Correct.
When you freeze things, it changes the actual texture, the molecular
structure
of the item. Yes. Regardless of what it is, if it's a frozen strawberry or it's a frozen fish, you know, it changes it.
That's right. I'm like I said, I'm from New England, so a lobster roll is my favorite thing in the world. And I can't find them here that doesn't have a frozen meat. Mm-hmm. There is one food truck that does a great job, but I can't go to Raleigh all the time. So yeah. That was one of the stipulations that we would, on a regular basis, not every day, but once in a while, we would offer lobster rolls. So I could have a lobster roll.
Good for you. Well, we will all look forward to it. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. We have a great guest today, Marcy Clark from Hook and Larder. We'll continue our conversation when we get back in just a few minutes. So stay with us.
Salami Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. I'm Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott, and our guest today is Marcy Clark from Hook and Larder, which will be in Blue Dogwood Public Market in downtown Chapel Hill soon. So she's enticing us with all of the great things they're going to have there, like a fresh oyster bar, which Janice will saddle up to and probably stay.
I will.
For a little bit. And we've been talking a lot about just what you're serving, in particular the fresh caught fish off of the coast, and you're specializing really in Carolina caught fish.
Yes.
Off the coast, except for your occasional lobster, which Marcy needs to have. It's a requirement.
It was part of the deal for starting this, that had to be on the menu.
Well, let's talk about your menu, because we've been leading up to it. So let's tell people what kind of food they can come. Obviously, they can buy the seafood raw.
Retail, yes.
So you're going to have a case where people can buy the actual fish that they can take home and prepare themselves.
Yes, and then we'll have prepared items mm-hmm. also.
So tell me about what's on besides oysters on the half shell.
Well, depending on what time you come in, we have a bagel that has fresh smoked trout on it, if you care to enjoy that.
Like a lox. But,
like a lox, but made from trout.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, we thought it was neat.
You have in North mm-hmm. Carolina.
Correct.
Is the trout coming from that great farm?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We'll smoke some of it ourselves, but for the most part, we'll be getting smoked trout in. It depends on what Wayne's catching. I'm sorry, not Wayne. Steve is catching. We also have another fisherman that we work with in South Carolina, and his name is Wayne Mershon.
Oh, okay.
We've had a long relationship with him, about 10 years now. So we'll get some things from him if we can't get them from Steve and Renee at Salty Catch.
Mm-hmm. That's a longer trip, though.
Yes, it is.
Whoever's going to get it.
Yes, it'll be one of us. we'll have things like shrimp rolls or lobster rolls. So they'll be on they call it New England style split top buns here.
Mm.
In New England, we just call it a hot dog bun. So we have to get those specially made for us because nobody has them.
Oh.
Although I know a few bakers in the area that maybe can handle that. we'll have like a pimento cheese BLT. We'll have fresh soups daily. One of our specialties is a she crab soup.
Mm.
If we can get, crab roe, and mm-hmm. that'll be on the menu.
What is she crab soup?
She crab soup is a cream-based soup, and it is it has crab roe in it.
Mm-hmm. Crab roe being the eggs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only available at certain times of year because they only have the roe inside of them at certain times of year.
And what kind of crab?
It'll be blue crab.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hopefully it'll be blue crab. We don't use, we'll have like snow crab claws because those are not snow. Yeah. They are sustainable. You break off one of, and they regenerate their claw.
Right.
So that's a sustainable form of crab.
Mm-hmm.
It's not snow crab. I'm drawing a blank of what it is.
We'll think of it later. I've seen that on videos where they're fishing and they break off one and throw it back in.
Right. Yep, crab
but claws. I couldn't tell you the name of it. So.
Yeah.
Someone will know.
Then we'll do things. We'll do some catering where we can do oyster roast. We'll have a crawfish boil, or we'll do frogmore stew, or crabs, and we can come to you, or you can come pick up all the stuff from us and cook it yourself. So we'll do a lot of fun things.
You're going to do a boil.
We will. We'll do a boil. Low country boil.
I had to learn how to say boil when I moved here.
Oh, yeah.
Boil.
It was like Beaufort.
Yes.
Like, I couldn't, I kept saying Beaufort, and my husband was like, that is a completely different town.
Stop saying that.
Topsail, those different words I had to learn. But if he goes to New England, there's a lot of things that he won't be able to pronounce either.
That's great.
What else is on your... So you're going to have a menu that varies because you need to know what's coming in.
Yes. And so it'll vary daily. We'll have a board that has what we're going to offer that day. And then we'll do salads on the sides that you can pair with your sandwich. So it'll be, you know, a meal. Mm-hmm. And each day that'll change too.
Right. And you'll have a few offerings. You're not going to have... This isn't like you're going in to sit down at a grand... huge restaurant or something.
Right. It'll be, you know, it's a market stall where you can come in. We have a couple of things that day and you can choose what you want. It'll always be on our website what we're featuring that day. So you can go ahead and go on hookandlarder.com and figure out if you would like to come talk to us that day.
Well, yeah, I think you'll encourage people to be trying things that they haven't tried before.
So they'll have to come often.
Often, daily.
Because it'll change all the time. It'll be really fun to see, you know, what's there and what isn't there and what you've done with what parts of the fish as well.
Correct.
I mean, there are parts of fishes that just people don't use.
Right. Well, James loves the cheeks.
So do I. I have a friend who loves the cheeks. Like, he's obsessed with the cheeks.
Yes.
And I think when we said that we had you guys coming into the market, he's like, are they going to do cheeks? That was his first question. I don't know, but I guess so.
James, well, that's I think that was his thing that had to be on the menu.
Oh, yeah.
We are just going to do what we can with what we have. So very much a day-to-day changing menu.
Mm-hmm. And you'll use the fish parts, the bones and the heads and
everything.
We'll
make stock. Mm-hmm. That'll be part of our soup making process. Mm-hmm. Another reason why we do soup is that so we don't waste anything, that we can take what we have and use it. We don't want anything to go bad and we don't want anything to be wasteful.
Nope. So you'll use it all. I imagine you might have extra stock, maybe?
Most of the time, yeah.
So you we'll can sell the stock.
Sell the stock. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We will sell stock.
And their name, Hook and Larder, how did that come about?
Well, when we were deciding what we wanted to do, we knew that we were going to do retail fish, and then we also knew that we wanted to do like a deli case to sell anything from shrimp salad to, you know, coleslaw to go with whatever you're eating. And then we knew that we wanted to have North Carolina, or as close as we can get it, things to cook fish with. So like fish breader or Bloody Mary mix for oysters.
Yum.
Dana's really never going.
We actually, on our catering menu, we have a Bloody Mary bar to go.
But
no vodka included. You have to provide your own vodka.
Yeah. So
when we were deciding what to do, we were trying to come up with a name, and I kept going back to hook, and hook and ladder popped in my head, and I went, wait a minute, a larder is a pantry, basically.
Yes.
And so that went with it, and it just came about from there, and then it stuck, and we haven't been able to get away from it, so that's what we went with.
Well, you have, like, rubs or...
Yes.
You know, other things, marinades,
yep,
or some kind
marinades.
Of something to help people make fish.
Mm-hmm. Sauces. We make a pretty unique horseradish sauce, and James...
Ooh, I love horseradish.
I do love horseradish.
What is your sauce? Well, is it a creamy sauce?
No, it's a tomato-based horseradish sauce. And then it's just what we add into it that makes it a little unique.
And what do people do with that?
Shrimp cocktail, you can dip any kind of fish in it. If you do a fried seafood, a lot of people use that. Where I'm from, it's tartar sauce. Everybody uses tartar sauce, less so than cocktail sauce.
But that's an interesting cocktail sauce.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of the cocktail sauces, but I love horseradish, so I would probably
We'll have to figure out. We'll figure out a way for Kelly to eat it.
I think I've already figured it out. And apparently I have to eat cheeks, because that's critical.
So will you actually do a tartar sauce?
We will. We'll have a tartar sauce that we'll make.
Mm-hmm. I can eat tartar sauce on every single thing.
I really love tartar sauce.
Let's say the ingredients for tartar sauce.
So you start with a mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. You have, most people just use lemon juice juice, but I like to put a little lemon zest in there. It adds more of a flavor.
That's your pastry chef-ness.
It is. That's not, it's funny because that's what I am as a pastry chef, and now I am a fish cook.
The twists and turns of life.
It definitely is twisted. What else do we have? Oh, it has basically a relish, but I like to chop up the pickles myself because we make pickles. So we can do the pickles and then add them ourselves. And that really gives you control over how vinegary it's going to be.
Or sweet.
Right. Or any spices that are in your pickles. Exactly. So it makes it really, really
unique,
customizable.
And much better. Yes.
Yeah, especially if you're making your own pickles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Quick pickles. They're very, very easy, but they're delicious.
Yeah.
And you'll be selling those too.
I think so. Well, I guess now we are.
Janice is going to make a list of things she would like. We have to take another break before we add to your menu.
Right.
You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. And today was with our guest Marcy Clark from Hook and Larder. We'll be back in a few more minutes and we'll talk some more. Don't go anywhere.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, Davy.
Davy.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL. My name is Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott, and our guest today is Marcy Clark from Hook and Larder, opening soon in Blue Dogwood Public Market. We've been talking about a lot of great stuff, including their menu. We left off on all the wonderful things you're going to have there. You guys specialize, if you're just joining us, they specialize in local fish from the coast, North Carolina,
South
mainly,
Atlantic.
Sometimes branching out into other areas. But you have a partnership with Salty Catch, who is a farmer, or, well,
fisherman.
And on the coast, and they're going to be getting fresh fish in every couple days, which is remarkable.
Yes.
Directly from the coast for us to eat, to buy raw, and you'll prepare a lot of yummy things, which you had gone through in our last segment. So if you miss it, you'll want to go back and listen to it on our podcast. But one of the things that caught my ear, and I forgot until just now, was you had a pimento cheese sandwich.
We do. We have a pimento cheese sandwich.
And I know that's a very Southern thing, but I think that's James has perfected the pimento cheese,
his
which
pimento
is why
cheese
the pimento cheese
different.
You had like a pimento cheese BLT or something. I was like, well, that's an odd one, but that's why, because he's really worked on his pimento cheese.
He's perfected it over the years. So. That's one of the platters that we offer too, is a pimento cheese platter, and it has local pepper jelly on top of it with crackers. That's one of his favorite things to eat, so we're offering that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody makes pimento cheese like him, so.
Yeah, so that'll be good too. It's not fish, but it's really good.
Yes.
So we've been talking a lot about where you get your fish, and you brought these wonderful charts. I wish this was TV sometimes so people could see what we're talking about. In an attempt to help people understand more about what it means to buy seafood sustainably and even what is available when.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting to get these charts, and people have seen them for produce, where you can see, oh, for the seasons in spring, here is what you can buy around in your area. Mm-hmm. And those show up everywhere around the country. And so what I'm looking at, it says North Carolina seafood availability, and it's a great big chart that's tall.
Mm-hmm.
Very long. And it is really lovely. So on the first column, it has all the fish spelled out with a picture.
Yes.
Which I think is really a great way to do that, because you can buy a whole fish. Not everybody will buy a whole fish, but it is nice to be able to go in and start to identify things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just has a nice chart about when they're available.
Right. The different seasons that they're available.
Because people don't. I don't know how much people really think about seasons for fish.
Well, because most things are either farm-raised or they just catch them all the time. Like salmon is available all the time, but you only want to buy wild-caught salmon, and they only have certain times that they run.
Right.
So things like this, you can get them from NC Catch, gotta be NC Seafood. So there's gotta be NC Agriculture, and then there's also gotta be NC Seafood. Great resources when you're looking for sustainable fish, what you can get from North Carolina. They provide these charts for you. They also have little cards that you can stick in your purse and take with you to the grocery store.
Got to be NC provides these charts. I also see on the bottom it has the North Carolina Sea Grant.
Yes, Sea Grant.
And so that's another place. Mm-hmm. There's actually quite a few resources on these charts, but
there are, and we list a lot of them on our website that you can go to and check if you want to know more about sustainable
fish. Which is
fish
Hook and Larder.
Yes, ma'am.
Hookandlarder.com, and the and is spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
North Carolina seafood availability. That's at the top of the chart.
Right. And so you're gonna have these charts and update.
We'll have them available. We'll have one posted, and then we'll have them available for people to take.
Yeah. And there's there's tiny little ones that you can fold up and put in your purse.
Right. It's about as big as a credit card.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And they have them available for each season too. So you don't have this giant card that you have to put in your wallet. Mm-hmm. It's just a, quarter fold card, and the one that I have particularly right there is from the fall, but we have spring ones now too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's on the back is really interesting. It's how do you buy a fish?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that, Marcy?
How
do we know we're getting a good fish when we go and buy a fish?
What does it look like when it's fresh?
You definitely want to look. If you're buying a whole fish, you want to look for clear eyes. You don't want them super cloudy. And they can be a little bit, but you want it because it's not alive. You want to look for clear eyes. It won't have any odor to it. Fresh fish should really smell more like melon than it does what you think of fish.
Mm-hmm. Like that sour or
ammonia-y.
Smell that
there's
you know
a definite,
something's off.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Some fish will always smell like that. An oilier fish is going to smell fishy. That's just the way it is. But it's not overpowering. It shouldn't knock you back if you try to smell it.
Which is interesting because people say your fish shouldn't smell fishy. It's a fish.
Yes.
It has to smell like fish. So it will smell a little like a fish. So.
Like the ocean.
Yeah. The thing that surprised me the most when I started working in the culinary industry was that a fresh fish really does smell like melons. Like, that's what I smell like, getting in whole sides of fish. But some of them will have a fish smell to it because it's a fish. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that the flesh of the fish is kind of shiny, but not – so you don't want it to be super dull. And you also don't want it to have like a slime on it.
Mm.
And fish will get a slime on it if it's old. But there's also a difference between a fresh fish and a frozen fish and how they're going to look. A frozen fish is going to have like a dull appearance. Even though it's not bad, it just – is a frozen fish.
Right. And that, again, just is because it's frozen changes the whole texture.
Right.
Will change the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you buy, so when you're buying pieces of fish rather than the whole fish, you can look at the flesh and try to make a judgment call
on
that.
Yeah.
You can't see the eyes, you can't see scales, you can't see anything, to know how good is this fish.
Right.
And most of the time, I always think about this when I go to buy seafood. I'm like, should I say, can you get that out and I'd like to smell it,
yeah,
please? Because it's behind a counter and you have no idea, right?
A reputable place will not smell like fish when you walk in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's always going to have a little bit of an odor because it's fish. They deal with fish all the time and when they rinse stuff down, it just smells that way, but it should not knock you back and you want to run back to your car.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And also when you're getting like a bivalve, like a clam or an oyster, you want them closed. You don't want them open. You want them closed. And sometimes if you tap them, if they're open, they need to close back up.
Because they're supposed to be alive.
Yes. You want them alive. A lobster, too. You want it alive unless it's frozen lobster meat, but don't get that.
Don't get frozen lobster
meat.
No,
it's a completely different kind of lobster. I don't like it.
You mean like the actual species?
Yes.
Is a different
species? No. It's a Maine lobster. So you either have a spiny lobster or a Maine lobster.
Okay.
Maine lobster is always going to be that red flesh lobster that everybody kind of associates with it. Spiny lobsters don't have the big claws like a regular a Maine lobster. To me, that's a lobster. But a frozen lobster meat has a completely different texture.
Because it's frozen?
Because it's frozen.
Right, not because it's a different.
Right, it's kind of mushy a little bit. It doesn't have that nice, like chewy to it. It just kind of mushes.
Hmm. That doesn't sound delightful.
It doesn't sound good, does it?
Not at all, actually. That's all right, though.
And that's kind of the way Dungeness crab is also. You're just sort of describing that, and that's what happens. That's a West Coast crab. I see it, and I want to buy it, and then I know that it's frozen, and it won't be what I expect it to be.
Correct.
Yeah.
Some crab has to be frozen because it's so it's transported from so far away.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's always frozen, that's what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
But now we will not have to be used to that anymore.
No, come and get it from us. We have it all.
And fish is such a quick cooking thing that, you know, for people who are always saying they're so busy,
it just takes a few minutes.
But people are intimidated by fish. I really think I grew up in the Midwest. I was like the farthest thing from a fish. I mean, the only thing we had were like catfish and stuff like that, but when I moved to the West Coast, I really had to learn about fish because I was like the whole new gamble out here, you know. So, but I think a lot of people are still intimidated about cooking fish and buying fish.
Mm-hmm. And it's so versatile. Like, you can do anything with it besides putting chocolate on it. Don't do that. That's not very good.
I was just thinking when you were saying, I was like, what? That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Exactly. Don't do that.
Don't do that. We will not be doing that.
unless you're making, like, a mole sauce. You can put a mole sauce on there.
That's true. Which has cocoa, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so it's really versatile. It's very quick cooking. We'd be happy to talk to people about how to cook it, give pointers. We'll also have recipes, things that you can do with the fish that we're providing.
Great. Well, that's great.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We really enjoyed every single minute and learned a lot. So thank you, Marcy.
Thanks for having me.
Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking, Janice.